Welcome, everybody. Tuesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show gets off to a fantastic start right now. We're very excited to have you all with us. A lot of stories to dive into. Those campus protests still insane. Insane in the membrane. They are doing crazy stuff on these campuses. So we will look at what the latest is. We will look at what the GW campus is going to do as a result of the defacing. It is the George Washington University campus.
Yes.
Where Clay is a distinguished alumni. Why don't they ask you to come speak, by the way? What kind of nonsense is that?
I've never been invited to speak. They've asked me for a lot of money. I will say, to be fair to them, the athletic department has hosted me for a basketball game before, but I've never been invited. It is kind of funny think about. Never been invited to speak.
They did bring you to a basketball game, though. So,
yeah, but I'm a sports guy. I mean, wouldn't you think they would invite me to speak? I mean, how many people of my age that graduated from GW have done more in media? I mean,
well,
you know why.
You know why that's... I was invited to speak at Amherst before I ever did media when I was in the CIA. They wanted me to come up and give speeches, and they invite me. Since I started, since I went to work for Glenn at the Blaze, never again. Never since then have they reached out. So
you would think they would want as many successful alums to come to campus, regardless of how they are successful, right? I mean, that seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, except... Yeah. If you're a communist, you don't care about success or truth. So GW campus has defaced the GW statue. George himself. That's right. Father of the nation. They have defaced that statue. So on the one hand, we continue to talk about the ideology, the toxic ideas of the left and how they're playing out on these campuses. But also there's a part of me that's like, they kind of getting what they deserve on some of these campuses in terms of the administrations being in disarray and the whole thing being a mess. We shall discuss, plus a meeting with Trump and DeSantis. I think we told you here many times, even when things were a little bit testy, a little feisty between the Trump and DeSantis camps, of supporters during the primary, said they're going to hug it out. And they're going to be on the same team for the benefit of the country. And sure enough, Trump himself has said, great meeting, Ron fully on board MAGA. And we'll break some of that down for you because also it's a little bit of, we promised you it would happen. Some of you doubted it, but it is in fact what is going on. Statement from UT on how they're handling the protests. I think that's particularly interesting. If we have time, we'll get to this Arizona rancher who was charged in the shooting of an illegal on his property, who will not be retried after a jury was deadlocked. I think that's an interesting story. Goes back a ways. We talked to you about it, I think, a couple of years ago now, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. And we've got a lot more. But, Clay, let's start with this one. We haven't heard much from Nancy Pelosi these days. You know, Nancy's been a little quiet. I don't know. I mean, she's taken some naps to sleep it off after a third bottle of Chardonnay. And Nancy showed up on MSNBC. If there's one thing it would be hard to accuse MSNBC of, one would think it's Trump apologies or being apologists on behalf of Donald Trump. Pelosi was talking to Katie Turr, who apparently still works in media. Pelosi was not happy with this exchange. We want to break it down for you because it goes to where the economy is right now. This is cut six.
There are those who have real legitimate concerns about immigration, globalization, innovation, and what does that mean for their job and their family's future? And we have to address those concerns. And Joe Biden is doing that, created 9 million jobs in his term in office. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine.
So first of all, so nasty. And I think it's because she's looking at Katie Turr like, you're a propagandist and a fool. You're supposed to just go along with what could be more dishonest than claiming that the pandemic, which caused a shutdown that Democrats demanded, shrieking that they were all being murdered if they didn't get it. Those job losses are on Trump?
I think it's illustrative of how many Democrat arguments collapse with one sentence of opposition. And when I saw this clip that went viral of Katie Turr at MSNBC actually just bothering to correct Nancy Pelosi on a transparent falsehood, frankly, because in February of 2020, right before COVID overtook the country, and as you point out, Democrats insisted that everybody stop working and everything shut down, we had the lowest unemployment rate, virtually no inflation, lowest mortgage rates, highest employment rate for every different ethnic and racial group that I'm aware of in the United States history. We were at that time at the absolute apex economically ever in the United States history. And I think that's why, looking back nostalgically, many people remember now the Trump era with fondness. But this was also emblematic to me of what happened to Gavin Newsom. When Gavin Newsom debated Ron DeSantis and got completely and totally filleted in the Sean Hannity primetime special, it was because Hannity didn't really do anything other than present facts, but Gavin Newsom lives in that alternative facts universe of MSNBC and CNN, and he walked right into a buzzsaw and got obliterated because Florida handled COVID better than California did as an objective measure of fact in every respect. And so when that's actually pointed out and when you have to deal with it, Democrats don't react very well. In fact, Nancy Pelosi really kind of lost it there, that she was questioned in any way on MSNBC and then called Katie Turr a Trump propagandist for pointing out, hey, you know, COVID was going on. And they've made this argument because Biden came back in, they started to open back up. I think the math is, Buck, there are most of the job growth in Joe Biden, if you take away the people who just got to go back to the jobs that they already had, is actually in illegal immigrants. The number of new American citizen jobs that have existed during Joe Biden's tenure is not very substantial at all. So they're cooking the books here to make Biden's economic numbers look better than they do, than they actually are. And the numbers still aren't that great.
Well, to say that the worst job losses in history occurred under Donald Trump, when the truth is it was a pandemic, and that the criticism of Trump from the Democrats, including from Nancy Pelosi, was that he didn't shut down more, he didn't shut down harder for longer. It is so disingenuous, and it just requires Nancy Pelosi just spewing this venom of stupidity, which she does all the time, where it just doesn't matter to her in the least how untrue and what a big pile of bullcrap it is that she's pushing forward, to the point where even Katie Turr, I think, realized it would be embarrassing. It would be embarrassing for her to go along with that, because there are a lot of things that they can and do say about Donald Trump. But to pretend like the job losses of the pandemic are representative of the Trump economy — the Trump economy was fantastic. Joe Biden's economy stinks. Everybody knows it. And so what Pelosi does is trot out that talking point. There's that. But then there's also this, Pelosi saying that after the election, Democrats — and they've said this about other things before — but that they would be willing to nuke the filibuster and go for a national abortion law. Seven, play it.
If President Biden gets reelected, yes, and there's a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate, what can President Biden and the Democrats do to protect abortion nationwide?
Very clearly, we can enshrine into the law Roe v. Wade. And that makes a big difference.
That would take two-thirds in the Senate. You think the Democrats can get two-thirds in the Senate?
No, it doesn't get two-thirds. No, it doesn't. I mean, 60 votes is the Senate now, but if we win 50 plus one in the Senate, 50 plus the vice president, we can overturn the 60 vote rule.
The filibuster.
The filibuster, and pass it with a 51 vote margin.
First of all, that would be inviting the just continued changes. With every change of the Senate and the House, you would have this
massive
back and
changes
forth over something as serious and intense as the fight over abortion laws. But even beyond that, I do think that, Clay, the Democrats will get rid of the filibuster. I don't know if it's on this issue. It may be, but it is just a matter of time. Let's not forget, it was Democrats who initially started this fight by getting rid of it when it comes to judges. So It was Harry Reid.
I also think it would be a funny response to the Nancy Pelosi commentary, not only on the filibuster, but particularly on the job creation by Joe Biden and her attack on Trump that he had the worst job record ever. You know, FDR had a really rough record when it came to soldiers who died while he was president, too. He didn't choose World War II to start, and he had to get involved. But if you compared, let's say, FDR's presidential loss of life to Hoover's, then FDR would look atrocious because World War II happened. So it just takes the barest minimum of pushback to say, well, that's because of COVID and because of Democrat policies. But her anger at the fact that that was even raised as an issue is indicative of how much I believe they have come to anticipate total propagandistic media to further their arguments, even when they are intellectually dishonest and even when they're talking to someone who's inclined to believe the arguments that they're making.
It almost felt like Nancy was about to fall out of her chair, not in a drunken stupor, but to express her outrage at Katie Turr for not understanding. Biden's behind in every swing state right now in the polls. Biden is losing ground with each passing day. This is not going the way the Democrats. I really think now we're deep enough into the legal stuff that we can see. Democrats thought the legal stuff would sink Trump. They were wrong.
Yes.
Meaning in public opinion, I don't know what's going to happen with the actual trials, but they thought public opinion would turn against Trump if they used the lawfare, canon the way that they have. And it's the opposite. And I think that they are panicked because I don't think they have any good plan B.
It's turned into potentially the most destructive own goal in modern American political history. Now, they're still 6 months out. We'll talk about some of the latest numbers. So maybe they still think they're going to get some benefit of it. But right now, Trump has painted them into a corner. And even these discussions about contempt of court, I think, are making the Democrats look worse. We'll talk about all that and more. In the meantime, $20 doesn't buy you nearly what it once did. Hey, especially in California, where you get paid $20 an hour now to work in a fast food restaurant. And as a result, I was just reading Chick-fil-A prices up 10% in the last month or so in the state of California. Go figure. Can't buy as much as you used to, but Pure Talk still letting $20 get you a full month of unlimited talk, text, plenty of 5G data. Same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. And the average size family can save $1,000 a year, all with no contracts, no activation fees. When you switch to Pure Talk, you keep your phone number and your phone. U.S.-based customer service team will make the switch from Verizon, T-Mobile, or AT&T really easy for you. You can make the switch today. Save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares your values and our values and creates American jobs. Here's how you do it. From your phones, dial #250, say the keywords Clay and Buck. Again, from your phone number, #250, that's #250, and say the keywords Clay and Buck. Do it today.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, making sense in an insane world.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D. The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough. That we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from my, from this idea of what, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. While many of us were sleeping last night, the Columbia University protesters stormed a building and took control of it. This also comes on the heels of, at UCLA, there being student protesters. I don't know if you saw this viral video, Buck. A Jewish student was asking to be allowed to walk through the campus, and followers, anti-Israel protesters, pro-Hamas, however you want to classify these protesters, refused to let the Jewish student into the campus. And Dave Rubin pointed out, YouTube, he has a great show, been on this show quite a few times. Dave Rubin pointed out that if there was ever a situation where a black student was refused access to some part of campus, the entire world would come undone. They would call in the National Guard. The students who were refusing access would be arrested. They would become absolute infidels in the idea of the country. They would never be able to get jobs. Their lives would be ruined. But these protesters who are anti-Israel are doing it to Jewish students, and they aren't even taking any action at UCLA. Gavin Newsom, who claims to care about equality and tolerance and truth and justice and all these things, isn't taking any action. Joe Biden isn't taking any action. It's coast to coast now. The only places that are taking action are southern states and red states. And I want to give credit, Buck. I want to read this opening. I don't know if you saw this in your new home state of Florida, but the University of Florida put out a statement last night, which I thought was absolutely fantastic as it pertains to how they were dealing with students. And the statement begins, if you didn't see this, which is this is from the University of Florida. In response made to the arrests of protesters, this is their official statement. This is not complicated. The University of Florida is not a daycare. We do not treat protesters like children. They knew the rules, they broke the rules, and they'll face the consequences. For many days, we patiently told protesters, many of whom are outside agitators, they were able to exercise their right to free speech and free assembly. But we told them that clearly prohibited activities would result in trespassing orders, and they took action against them. Bravo. Still hasn't happened at Columbia. Still hasn't happened at UCLA. Blue State, Blue City universities are unable to protect students and allow content-neutral policies.
You know, my wife is a University of Florida alumna, and she's very proud. We were talking about this last night. Very proud of her school's response to this. I must give credit to Ben Sasse, former Republican senator from Nebraska. He is the chancellor or the president or whatever you call it.
That's
the
right.
Head honcho of the U of F. He's doing exactly the right thing. And I think that these schools in these states, just the same way that people saw crazy COVID policies and horrible crime policies and all these things and said, I'm moving to places that are making different decisions. I think schools like U of F, UT Austin, although Austin's obviously in a very liberal place, they're going to be rising up in the rankings, and more people are going to want, they're already very good schools, but more and more people are going to want to go to those schools because ultimately, why go to a school where you got a bunch of communists calling the shots if there's no benefit to it and you have a better experience with better weather in Florida or Texas?
Let me ask you this question. I'm curious what your answer would be when we come back, and I'm even curious how you guys would respond out there. 800-282-2882. I'll confess, when Ben Sasse left the Senate, I thought to take the job at the University of Florida, I thought to myself, wow, he's really stepping down in terms of his influence. Is he actually having far more influence as the president of the University of Florida on the nation as a whole than he did as a senator from Nebraska?
We'll talk about it. You know, right now the economy's not great, and people are wondering where's it all going to go. There are still some ways that if you know what you're doing and you invest properly, you can make some great money, some great returns. AI stocks have been having a huge run on Wall Street, and this is why I want to tell you about Mark Chaykin. Mark Chaykin is a writer and editor who covers AI in particular and the AI stocks you need to know about, you need to check out yourself. Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years. He invented three indices for the NASDAQ during that time, and he has predicted some of the biggest market shifts and some of the most important stock swings out there. Mark is saying there's a new dawn for U.S. stocks ahead. Well, what stocks? He's going to give you one of his favorite AI stocks when you go to 2024AIStock.com. 2024AIStock.com. Paid for by Chaykin Analytics. Welcome back into Clay and Buck. So we're talking about the campus protests, obviously, and what's going on with the different reactions to it. I think some schools are making exactly the right move. We were talking a U of F a second ago. Clay asked me, is Ben Sasse having more influence at the University of Florida than he did as a United States senator from Nebraska? I think the answer is probably yes, at least in this moment, given that he was pretty anti-Trump, and there wasn't really a lot of room for him in the Republican Party, which is why I think, or for him to maneuver the way he wanted to, which is why he stopped his political career, at least for a time, and went to do his duties at the University of Florida. By the way, I'm sure being president or chancellor or whatever, one of these big universities anywhere, just as a quality of life thing, it's a great gig, man. They're making seven figures at a lot of these places. Let's say you're making $1 million. You're housing. You get to live in some mansion that's all appointed and set up for you. You move into your mansion. You go to cocktail parties. You hang out with donors. You go to some meetings. I don't know. You get to like work out in the school gym, use all the facilities. It's a great gig. I'd do it.
Sporting events. You have an incredible suite for all the big sporting events to go to. I would have thought, and I'll admit it, when he left to go to the University of Florida, I thought there's no way that I can't believe he's giving up a Senate seat to go be a president of a state university. I was totally wrong. I think what he has done in terms of standing up for free speech on a content neutral basis at the University of Florida is more impactful than he could have been as a senator at Nebraska. And I think about these kind of things a lot. One reason that I do the show with you today, Buck, is I still love sports. Not going to pretend that I don't. I was doing sports talk radio. Our boss, who we're going to be with this weekend, Julie Talbot at the Kentucky Derby. I don't think we've said we're going to be there yet. That's going to be a lot of fun. You and I and our wives. She said, look, I know you love sports. She said, I like sports. You could have way more influence on this show in terms of the things that you truly care about than you could continuing to talk about sports. And that was incredibly persuasive to me to do this. And I think there are lots of you out there whatever you do in your life, you're listening to us and you are really honestly troubled on a profound degree by what you see happening, let's say on the university campuses right now, what you see happening in the country. Because as we've said for some time, it's one thing to argue what the corporate tax rate should be or whether you should, and you could have a variety of opinions. I think they should be low, but you could have a variety of opinions on those. You can have a difference of opinion, let's say, on how exactly to implement hiring practices or what you should do when it comes to socioeconomic admissions or legacy admissions. All these things are really interesting questions. Whether America's good or evil is a profound question. And I think a lot of you out there are contemplating whatever you do in your life, how can you be the most impactful? And we need to invite Ali Ben Sass on because I would love to hear how he worked through the process to make the decision. Him going to the University of Florida and standing up for free speech and for the rights of all students to be able to speak, but also for content neutral policies to be applied, is how you win the next generation. And to your point, Buck, I think there are a lot of people out there who maybe historically, 20 years ago, going to Columbia was something a lot of people would aspire to do. Being at an Ivy League school would make a tremendous difference in your life. I've seen a ton of people who have really great academic credentials who decide, you know what? I'm done with this Northeastern crazy left-wing BS. I want my kids to go to the University of Georgia or the University of Florida or the University of Alabama or the University of Tennessee. When I went away to college in D.C., the idea that moms and dads in New York and California would be encouraging their kids to go to a Southeastern Conference school or to go to Clemson or Florida State or the University of Texas, which I guess now is an SEC school, Buck, it would have been crazy. Now it's almost impossible to get into a lot of these SEC schools. You had to have a pulse to get into the University of Tennessee when I was graduating from high school in 1997. There are tons of kids with 3.5s and good SAT and ACT scores from the state of Tennessee now that can't get into the University of Tennessee because the out-of-state quality of applicant has skyrocketed. Over half of the students at the University of Alabama now are from out-of-state. Think about that. If you grew up in L.A. or New York City, the idea that you would be sending your kid to Alabama to get an education in 2000, you would have been crazy. Now they're fighting to get in.
I mean, my sister went to Davidson, and I applied to Vanderbilt, well, actually. So, I mean, there's
Davidson,
a little bit.
I would say there are some. Davidson is an elite academic
Davidson,
school.
Vanderbilt's
elite.
There are a bunch
elite.
Of these schools that have been popular.
Did you apply to an SEC school?
I did not apply to an SEC. I didn't know what the SEC was.
Okay, right. So in 2000, what year did you graduate high school? 03, 04? No, 01?
I don't know, like a decade before you. I can't do the math exactly. I graduated in 2000.
Okay, 2000. If you had walked into the admissions office in 2000 at your elite high school, and you had said, hey, I'm trying to decide between Amherst and LSU, your admissions counselor would have strangled you to death on, like, in that admissions office. I bet you that there are starting to be conversations in your high school now where somebody walks in and they're like, hey, I got a full ride to the University of Georgia, or I could go and have to pay nearly full freight to go to Cornell.
I can tell
you,
I had a
legit argument.
I had a friend, I think it's called the Jefferson Scholarship at UVA.
Yes, I applied for that.
Who got the Jefferson Scholarship at UVA and got in. He was a white Irish Catholic kid. He got into Harvard and he got the Jefferson Scholarship at UVA and he went to Harvard and took out loans. And I think that was
the
crazy.
Wrong call.
I think that was the wrong call. I thought it was the wrong call then.
My final call for college was GW or UVA. I got it. I had a scholarship to both. I mean, you could maybe argue I made the wrong decision. I actually went to GW because it was in D.C. and I got a little bit bigger scholarship. But I really thought deeply about that. And I still wonder if I made the right decision, you know, long range.
Right.
But that was an elite college school. I guarantee you now those debates are going on.
I talk to people about this all the time. Carrie said to me last night, she said, you know, obviously we're hoping to start the family in the next year, you know, God willing, and saying prayers about it. But she said, you know, what would you think if I, if we had a son or a daughter, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
And they wanted to go to U of F. I said, I think that would be amazing. I think that would be fantastic. I think that going to a place where you're going to have a really good experience, and for, I know we have more parents of children listening to us than we do teenagers who are thinking about going to college, but the experience and having, having a really sort of positive 4 years where you learn a lot and grow a lot is more important than the resume bullet. And I speak as somebody who took a job instead of going to, I got into a couple of Ivy League MBA programs. And, you know, I just looked at how much time it would be off the working line and how much debt I'd go into. I had no money. I mean, I had like, you know, like $1,000 in the bank to my name when I was applying to these schools. And I decided to go work for Glenn instead. I think it was the best, other than marrying my wife, the best adult decision I ever made. And I think that people are going to see this, Clay, as also part of the big red state, blue state sorting. I mean, it's COVID put into motion very clear differences in philosophy, in governing philosophy, but also in life philosophy that's playing out with the massive migrations. And again, I speak from experience as somebody who, I don't think anybody loved New York from the early 1980s until the, you know, late to, you know, the 2010 era more than me, but I decided it was time to change it up. And I think you're seeing that with these schools too, because of the protests, but everything. The protest is just one symptom of the larger malady that's going on.
I can tell you, I don't pay a lot of attention to where somebody went to college because we don't hire a lot of 22-year-olds. I'm more interested in your work product at OutKick. And when I've had impact in being able to hire over the years, I can't tell you how many of where everybody went to college that that we employ now at OutKick. I can tell you that if I was starting a new company and I was hiring 22-year-olds, I would be more likely to hire an SEC college graduate. And I'm including like Clemson and Florida State-ish schools in that mix, right? SEC footprint schools, Southern state footprints, than I would a Columbia grad. And I don't think there's any way I would have said that 20 years ago. And I bet there's a lot of you out there now who are in that hiring universe. And when you see a University of Florida resume, you kind of perk up a little bit. And when you see a Columbia resume, you kind of cringe a little bit because of what you're seeing on those campuses. I'm going to be doing this soon because my 16-year-old, who's going to be a junior next year, it's kind of when you start to look at colleges, and I'm going to let him make his own choices. And he's got his own resume and life ideals like anybody else. And I'm going to be going around to a lot of these campuses and visiting them with him. And I'm curious to see it 20 years later. I can tell you, for instance, as a parent, when I read the Vanderbilt University statement on the First Amendment from their new chancellor that was in the Wall Street Journal, and the fact that they kicked the kids who broke the rules and attacked a guard out of school immediately, it makes me feel way better about paying tuition to Vanderbilt than I would if they had a tent encampment there right now. And if there are tent encampments on college campuses, if I were looking now, I would cross those off my list. I'll let my 16-year-old make his own decisions, but I'm going to be in this process soon. And I'm with you. There are a lot of these big state schools where I would say, you know what, especially if you're in the honors college, if you get the opportunity to go to those schools, I would say take it potentially over the Ivy League. Also, if you're going to go to grad school, my advice for people out there, money's not unlimited. If you were going to spend money, I would spend money on a law school, a medical school, something like that, business school, maybe at an elite place over undergrad degree.
I know very
if you're going to go.
I know very few people now who look back on their MBA. I have a lot of friends who got MBAs. It was actually very common coming out of the government that think that their MBA was really worth it. It was kind of like 2 years of socializing and beer drinking as an adult while you figured out your Morgan Stanley gig. Not particularly worthwhile.
I love
whatever you do,
school.
Do not allow your kid to do a journalism degree, okay? There's no need. Journalism is called
that
reading
is
and writing.
We agree on that. Don't, I don't know enough about business school. I loved law school, and I do think it's been useful. The Vanderbilt Law School was probably the best 3 years of my life. I feel like it was incredible. But I certainly understand why it's a totally different world, why many people out there maybe when they see some of these names on the resumes may not be inclined to want to hire from there because they think, hey, you went to that awful, crazy, indoctrinated anti-Jewish school. which I never would have believed is real. Few companies manufacture the number of products designed to make your home more comfortable than MyPillow. Their $25 extravaganza sale gives you a chance to buy any number of great products at record low prices. First time MyPillow has put so many $25 price tags on dozens of their best-selling items. If you've been waiting to buy one or more, now's the time. Find the new line of MyPillows made with Giza cotton or their comfortable sandals, both just $25 a pair. So are the Giza Dream Sheets, the sets of towels, so many other items. Pricing this low because they've eliminated the middleman directly to you with the savings. Find your way to MyPillow.com. Use our names, Clay and Buck, as the promo code. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square for a $25 deal. You'll get free shipping, orders over $75. Use the promo code Clay and Buck to access the sale.
Stay on top of election news with 24 from Clay and Buck, a weekly podcast you can find on the free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? I look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you out there. Charlotte, North Carolina, brutal night, afternoon, evening there for law enforcement. Four Charlotte area police officers killed yesterday. I wanted to take a moment just to say thank you for your service, giving the ultimate sacrifice, and I'm sure that Tunnel to Towers will be reaching out to them. Deputy U.S. Marshal Thomas Weeks, 48, 13-year veteran, killed. He has a wife and four kids. Police Department in Charlotte, Officer Joshua Iyer. North Carolina Department of Adult Correction Officer Sam Paloche. Paloche survived by a wife and two kids. And North Carolina Department of Adult Correction Officer Wildom Alden Elliott. Elliott has a wife and one kid. Again, Tunnel to Towers does incredible work with these guys, but you probably will notice that the four police officers, law enforcement personnel who were killed in Charlotte will rapidly vanish from the news, despite the fact that the data all reflects, and we had Heather McDonald on, I think, on this show years ago to lay this out because I thought it was staggering. I believe the data was, Buck, that if you're a police officer, you have a 10,000% greater odds of being shot and killed than anyone who is shot and killed by police. I think it was 10,000% greater chance. So every time somebody pulls over, a police officer pulls over a car, every time they approach anyone, the amount of danger that they're under is pretty incredible.
Have you seen the video of the shootout where you can see two officers with long guns and they are set up alongside their vehicle? It's up on the Daily Mail. We could probably borrow the video and put it up at claybuck.com. And you can just see what a, you can see the tactical situation that they're in. They're behind the wheel, something people don't often know from watching TV, but they taught us this in the agency, and they certainly teach in law enforcement. Really, the only parts of a car that will protect you from gunfire are the engine block and behind the wheel well, effectively. So you want to crouch in behind a wheel or right behind the engine block. The stuff you see in TV where, you know, doors are like Swiss cheese. Glass, Swiss cheese, it just goes right through. Bullets will go right through. So you can see the officers. Now, I don't believe either of those officers were injured, but they were on the scene as well. And there's very clear video of them engaging with two shooters. It was two shooters who ambushed these officers, was what I read. So we do say a prayer for the families. And I know Tunnel to Towers, as you mentioned, Clay, will be stepping up into action here. And where do you want to take us in the next hour, my friend, other than taking us to be very supportive of our history with, speaking of Tunnel to Towers, we are working with them with Crockett Coffee, and CrockettCoffee.com is where we hope you'll all go to subscribe for the most delicious, freedom-loving, America-loving, patriotic, pioneering coffee you could find anywhere.
You guys are signing up like crazy, and we said when we founded the company, we want to have a substantial give-back campaign as a part of owning this company, because not only do we believe 100% in the exceptionalness of America and American history, we know that many of you are out there fighting every single day to protect all of us. And we said we want to give money to Tunnel to Towers. So we're going to be, I believe, at their gala event in December. I was there as a presenter last year. We're going to have a table where we're donating as much money as we can. But a large percentage of the proceeds that we bring in, we're going to be donating to Tunnel to Towers so they can help the first responders and service people out there who are losing their lives protecting us every single day. When we come back, top of the next hour. So thank you for all your support of Crockett Coffee. Know that we care about it deeply, and we're doing our best to try to make the world a better place. When we come back, speaking of make the world a better place, Trump up big in all seven swing states. Do we buy it? We'll discuss, plus the latest on the trial.